Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Keep your money local. Bring it home to a Wintrust Community Bank, home of Cubs checking with free ATMs nationwide. Find out more at Wintrust.com/Cubs. Member FDIC.
Welcome into the Cubs Talk Podcast. I'm Luke Stuckmeyer with our two Cubs insiders, the distinguished David Kaplan, at David Kaplan, and Kelly Krall.
See, I thought I was going to get distinguished.
No, you're
not so lucky.
You are distinguished as well.
You're a star.
What is your Twitter handle? At Kelly Krall?
Yeah, underscore Krall.
Underscore,
right?
Underscore Krall, yes.
And you are at the Catman.
Thank you.
Sorry, my bad.
And you
at
are.
David Kaplan was taken.
What? I'm just
come on.
Don't they
Some
know
Some other
who you
guy
are?
Wants to be you?
Some
there's
other
only
guy.
One. Yeah, there's we only can only handle
thank God
one.
For everybody.
We can only handle
right.
one. So, free agency's underway, and we're waiting to see what some of the big names are going to do. Of course, we've heard all the rumors about Bryce Harper for multiple years now on the north side. Scott Boras comes out of those meetings the other day, and let's take a listen to real quick what he had to say just about his client, Bryce Harper.
I think when you get into the category of both potential and you get into the category of what he's already done prior to the age of 25, that when you're looking at this from the standpoint to say, I know that anyone who's done what Bryce Harper's done at 25, if you've done that, you are almost a lock to be a Hall of Fame player. In 2010, since Bryce has entered the league, there has never been an 1100 OPS season other than him. And when you go back in history, in the 80s and 70s, I'm not talking about 90s and 2000s. In the 80s and 70s, we had one person in all of Major League Baseball that had an 1100 OPS season. That was George Brett. In the 60s, only McCovey, Mantle, and Norm Cash did it. In the 50s, it was Mickey Mantle and Ted Williams. In the 40s, it was Williams, Musial, and Hank Greenberg. So when you talk about the rarity of the ceiling, of the potential, of what that slugging and ability and also fear from other pitchers, what that means, so we know that elite performances are forthcoming for Bryce Harper and the franchise he plays for.
He called it Harper's Bazaar, of course. He's setting the stage for his client to get paid. Let me ask you this first. If you were a baseball player, would Scott Boras be your agent?
No, absolutely not.
Why
Never
not?
Never in a million years.
Why not?
Because he is divisive for some teams, some players, and he has so many clients that from what I've heard, you know, he does your deal and then you don't see him again. There's so many employees of the Boras Corporation. I would want much more of a one-on-one relationship with my agent.
But will he get you the most money? That's the question.
I was just going to say, devil's advocate, if I'm that good that he wants to be my agent, first and foremost, and I know he's going to make the deal, I don't care if I hear from him for the next 4 to 10 years. And truth be told, I don't really want to hear from him again. I mean, this guy
there
puts on
so
his own
many
mega show.
That pop up. Yeah, I would never in a million years.
I mean,
years,
personally,
wouldn't be,
from,
I wouldn't even consider him.
From a personal standpoint, that's not the way I go about my life. But I totally get when you're a star wanting the star agent. So that's yeah.
Well,
what
I mean,
about you?
I'd think about it. I mean, I don't really know the guy other than some of the stuff we see there and we hear at, you know, winter meetings and different places. But I'm leaning towards your side, Kelly. If I'm a baseball player and he can get me $50 million more than the other guy just by being – he can be the bad guy and I can just sit back and let him do his thing. I don't care if I hear from him. I mean, if I make $300 million, okay, I'll deal with the little
stuff. If you're good enough to get $300, any agent worth his salt is going to come very close and get you that money, 100%.
So you're
CAA, Mark Pieper and his group – all of them.
There's probably something in the peace of mind, though. This guy's done so many deals of that stature that
he wants to set records. Because it's about him.
I agree.
And I don't want an agent
It's amazing he's turned GM meetings and winter meetings into having a platform that goes well past an hour of meeting with reporters.
How about the crowd that was around him for that? That was like the Beatles
crowd there. Yeah.
Coming out. I can't disagree with what he was saying. He is right that Bryce Harper is a very young player in his prime that's on course to probably be a Hall of Famer, but he does want to throw out the 90s as if he had no clients in the 90s that he was saying.
Early 2000s.
Or early 2000s.
Right, but if you look back, Bryce Harper has a lot of years where I think this year he's 34. Prior to this year, he had one season where he hit over 29 home runs. One.
I my argument is I kind of feel like if you're going after the big pitching free agent or whatever and they have an established I don't know. This guy, you know what you're going to get. I mean, sure, can he have some down years? Yeah, but look what he's done already in his young career. I feel like any team that's going to pay that amount of money, I'm not saying it's you should or shouldn't, but if you have the money and you know that's the deal that's going to be made, 10 years, $300 million, whatever, you do at least know what you're investing in. That's not to say a guy can't get hurt, but I do think that you know your investment.
One more real quick question on Harper, and then we're going to take a break because we have a special guest lined up for the podcast this week. If you were going to spend $300 million, would you rather spend it on an ace or would you rather spend it on an everyday player?
For me, everyday player because he plays 150 times a year.
I would agree. An everyday player would be the money I would spend, but an ace can also change a postseason
I know the
playoff
Cubs
series.
Didn't pay
greatly.
That for you, Darvish, but that's how quickly and that's a huge hole to fill. I mean, not that a position player isn't, but yeah, I'm with you guys, position player.
We will see where Bryce Harper lands. We're going to take a quick break here on the Cubs Talk podcast because coming up next, we're going to talk with Ryan Dempster, the former Cub, the crazy Canadian, and the two-time All-Star.
Cubs Authentic Fans, the My Teams app by NBC Sports is your home for Cubs highlights, articles, and more. For the best Cubs coverage anytime, anywhere, download the My Teams app today.
Welcome back to the Cubs Talk podcast. Luke Stuckmeyer, Kelly Kroll, and David Kaplan. And we bring in our good friend Ryan Dempster, the two-time All-Star, played for the Cubs a good stretch of time. Of course, he was here from 2004 to 2012. You see him around Wrigley Field all the time. Demp, how you doing?
Wonderful, guys. How are we doing today?
We are great.
Great. Awesome. Good to have you on.
I've changed my mind. I was calling Cap the distinguished David Kaplan. I'm going to go with the distinguished Canadian hurler for you instead. Is that all right?
I like that, actually. Everybody asked me what my nickname is. I like that. I'm stick with it.
Hey, we wanted to ask you a couple things just about, in general, about the Cubs coming up this offseason. You played a little time with Yu Darvish one season, right? 2012 with the Rangers. What did you?
Correct.
What was he like as a teammate, and what do you expect to see from him coming back this season from an off-season procedure?
Yeah, I enjoyed my time with Yu in Texas, and got to be around him a lot, and being another fellow starting pitcher and throwing bullpens, and he put a lot of hard work in, and I think it's tough to kind of see what happened to him this past year. I know he wanted to be out there and towing the slab every fifth day, so cleaning that elbow out and being ready to go, I think we can see a healthy Yu Darvish. And this guy, when he's on, he's as electric as any starting pitcher in the big league. So you really have some potential to have an ace in the hole, let's say, if he is back and healthy, ready to go.
Ryan, when you look at where the team is, it's funny, Theo talks about the offense was broken and fans treat it like this team's just awful. They won 95 games for the fourth straight year, 90 plus playoffs for the fourth straight year, first time in history of the franchise. Where are you on where the Cubs are heading toward 2019?
I think it's great. You look at it like that's the expectation now. is expectation is winning 95 games or more, going to the World Series, and how much it's changed in just a short period of time. But you know, you have people forget, and it comes with success is long seasons, playing till the end of October, more innings for your starting pitchers. You know, the off seasons get shorter and shorter, and I thought this year was pretty remarkable, aside from getting bounced out of the, you know, the one game playoff, for guys to do as well as they did, because it gets harder and harder when you're constantly going deeper. And a healthy Chris Bryant next year, you know, like a healthy Yu Darvish, Tyler Chatwood, who can turn it around. I think that, you know, everybody's talking about Machado and Harper and all these guys and Sino. Where are they going to play? You got guys in all these positions. And I think you can really just, the biggest thing, the biggest offseason acquisition that the Cubs can have is health. And I think that could be a huge, huge success factor for the team next season.
So when you say that, you think Machado, Harper, Cubs shouldn't even go that direction? What would be the direction you think, or the guy that maybe is the outside of health, which you just mentioned, what would be the piece you'd want to add to that club next year?
Yeah, I think you just look at, you know, the possibility of adding depth in your bullpen. You know, a possible, it doesn't have to be a frontline all-star Hall of Fame, as you want to call it, before they're even halfway there, caliber type player. Like, I'm sorry, I just look at the team and I don't sit there and say that you need Harper or Machado. I just really don't. You're talking about a team that won 95 games with two starting pitchers that were brand new to the team that didn't live up to their end of the bargain just because of health or struggles. Both those guys can bounce back. KB didn't have the year he was capable of having because of battling that shoulder injury, battling getting hit in the face, all kinds of things. I just think that there's so much more with that team that's already there, not even having Brendan Morrow healthy for the whole year. So I think having an extra month, having some ability to rest, you don't need a lot of pieces. That's the truth. And everybody wants to add pieces because they're out there. And how do we get better? And how do we get better? Health is how you get better. You win your division when you do that, because that's the quality of players and that quality of roster that you have.
Ryan, there's a lot of evaluation at the end of a season. Theo talked about placing the importance on production for players. You're going to have your coaches evaluated. You're going to have your manager evaluated. When you were playing, how important was the pitching coach to you? Was the pitching coach someone you leaned on a lot, or was it a position that you just went to every once in a while? Is it a daily thing?
Well, I mean, it just depends on where you're at in your career. I think, you know, early on in your career, a pitching coach is somebody that can really have a lot of impact on you. When you're going well and things are going good, you're probably being your own best pitching coach. And you feel the things you're doing right and the things that you're doing wrong. And a lot of times the pitching coach is there to stroke your ego and be like, oh, yeah, good job. Yeah, I know it's a good job, but that's all it is. Whereas when you get a little bit, you know, struggles, that can play a huge part, but at the same time, that can be the responsibility of other guys in your rotation, to, you know, teammates, to, hey, dude, I noticed you're doing this, or a player on your team going, yo, dude, you're tipping this pitch really bad. And so as much as we like to glorify coaches, I think they can make a big impact, a big difference, but at the same time, when you're at the big league level, you really got to focus hard at how to be your own best coach, because a lot of times that's what the best guys do. They're the ones that notice those things. They find things on video and have the biggest impact that way.
All right, so I talked to a former major league manager, and I said, Harper or Machado, to him, and he said, for the Cubs? I said, yeah, for the Cubs. He said, I wouldn't sign either guy. $300 million. He said, you have enough on that roster if you tweak it right, but you need a more established lineup where guys show up and they're playing or hitting in the same spot. They're playing the same position the majority of the time. He said, and I think you need to add a leadoff guy. But he said, in terms of spending $300+ million for a superstar, no. Tweak things, be more set and regimented, and you'll be fine. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, you don't need another superstar. You got one at first base. You got one at third base. You got one that plays all over the infield in Javi Baez. You got a guy who, you know, went through a little bit of the sophomore stuff with Wilson Contreras, or, you know, the second full year where you know, it's fatiguing when you catch every day, but he's the potential to be a superstar. So you don't need another superstar. That team has won a World Series. They've been to three NLCSs in a row, and they just ran into two hot teams. I mean, the Milwaukee Brewers, the Cubs didn't do anything to lose that down the stretch. The Milwaukee Brewers played, you know, out of their tree for the last month of the season and deservedly so won that division. But you just you don't need to go out there and spend $300-400 million, whatever this contract's going to end up being, for one player. One player never make or breaks your team. And so, you know, like you said, you get some health, you tweak the lineup a little bit, you figure out a way to just get some consistency going, and I think that you're going to see that. Those guys got used to playing till the middle to the end of October, and all of a sudden now you have to go home. It leaves a sour taste in your mouth, and I think they're every bit capable of bouncing back next year and being another dominant team that goes out there and wins 95-plus games.
Go ahead, Kelly.
Brian, with that being said, you mentioned when Luke asked you about the pitching coach, it depends on where you are in your career. And I think about a lot of these guys are still really young in their career, right? I mean, they're established superstars because of what they did at such a crazy young age, but they're still young. And when I think about sort of what's happening with the coaching staff and some of the changes, whether it be with the hitting coaches or, you know, they have made a change with the pitching coach in the past, will you take us inside what that does for whether it's the chemistry of the team or where you think these guys are because they're still young in their careers, kind of figuring that out as they enter now 2019 in another season where expectations are incredibly high?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing, Kelly, when you're dealing with that is both whoever that new – so there's a new hitting coach this year, and they come into spring training – it's instantly you have to work hard not to teach the guys how to hit, but to develop relationships with them really quick.
Yeah.
Family, kids, what do you like? What do you don't like? What are your favorite movies? What makes you laugh? What makes you mad? What motivates you? Because you're learning all that right away, and as the course of the season goes on, how do I know when my guy is mentally ready?
Mm-hmm.
And I think those are the bonds that you have to form in spring training and really do that quickly because – you know, it is. I had the luxury of having Larry Rothschild as my pitching coach almost my entire time in Chicago. And
sure.
Larry could tell by the way I was breathing or my nostrils were flaring whether or not I was mad. You know, and so it does have a good impact when you have somebody that you know you can trust and you can rely on, and when they're telling you something, you really believe it because they've been still trusting you and earned that trust with you. And I think that's probably, for me, if I was thinking about being a coach, that'd be the hardest thing to do is just figuring out ways to earn that trust with 25 guys plus minor league guys that are going to come up. But as a, you know, an individual coach with your pitchers or your hitters, and it takes a lot of hard work. But I think that's why guys do it, and they want to motivate these guys to be the best ball players they can and see them get the best results out of the talent that they have. And this group of guys sure are talented.
Yeah.
Hey, how was John Lackey's retirement party?
Oh, boy. I'll tell you what, man. If there was video of that, more than there already was, yeah, that was a good time. You know, a good surprise for John. Christina, his wife, did a bang-up job at the party Friday night, and then golf on Saturday, and then again on Saturday night at the resort. And it was just great to see how many guys – you know, love John Lackey, all these ex-ball players and high school friends of his and family and everybody around. And, you know, I know John gets a bit of a bad rap sometimes for being an ornery old guy. But, you know, I said it at the party, John Lackey's one of the most reliable people I've ever met. You know what you're getting out of him every fifth day. You know what you're getting out of him the 4 days in between. He's got a gigantic heart, and underneath that big, huge 6'5", 240-pound frame with his, you know, his bottom jaw flaring out and getting yelling at an umpire or steaming because Joe's taking him out, whatever it is, there's this big, huge, soft teddy bear that is as kind as a soul as you're going to get out there. And you saw it last weekend at his party, and I was just happy for him to see him so celebrated. So a good time, I've got to tell you that, guys. You missed out on one heck of a party.
Yeah, my invitation must have gotten lost in the mail.
I didn't check my email, so I didn't see it.
I had to pass like three different like security checks just because I have a media credential. That was a tough one to get through there.
Well, all we know is he's never been called the distinguished Canadian hurler. And that's strictly you, Ryan. Thank you so much for joining us.
Hey, absolutely, guys. Enjoy the rest of your day and the rest of your week and your weekend and everything coming ahead of you.
You
same
too.
You.
Congrats on the new baby.
Thank you.
Ryan Dempster, two-time All-Star, a longtime Cub. That's going to do it for this week's Cubs Talk podcast. We'll talk to you again a couple times next week. We might have another interview lined up. We'll keep that secret
Never
for now.
Never know.
We'll keep that secret
it's
for now, but look for
one.
It later next week.